Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back and it is a perfect time to do a podcast, guys, talking pro wrestling because Survivor Series War Games went down this past weekend. Busy Monday Night Raw. We've got a lot to talk about. Scotty Villa here with Monday Night Mike, UK Tom. The whole band is back together. Full show.
Stick ass bitches.
Yeah, we had to take a knee last week because myself and UK Tom were hurting last week, so we're feeling a little more fresh than we did last week, so we're back, and I missed you guys. There's no need to give the finger, Mike. There's no need. The week before, you were late, so...
What are we talking, 2 weeks ago now?
Yeah, I guess. I was like, when did that happen?
I forgot that happened.
For fuck's sake.
But... thanks to everyone that's kind of stuck it out with us and waited around for this brand new episode. We wanted to do a Survivor Series preview show, but that didn't happen. We did officially make our picks. They were posted on our socials at In My House Pod everywhere. So
and
it does
who
count.
Won?
Well, I haven't looked at the results yet because
who
bullshit.
Won?
They're
yes,
kind of
you did.
Results.
Yes, you did.
I'm
you won?
Pretty sure I deleted.
Booyah!
Them.
There's no fucking way you won.
I fucking won. Eat my ass.
Check those right now.
I am. I'm checking them right now. Yeah, he definitely won. He only got
Fuck.
One wrong.
Suck my dick.
What? What guy wins one pay-per-view this year? He's on top of the world?
I do want to mention that after Saturday night's main event, which is next weekend, we will be making picks for that. That is the last show we're doing picks on. And then the following week, after Saturday night's main event, I should have the results for who was Booker of the Year on the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. So, you know, not to put a lot of pressure on you guys, but Saturday night's main event, it's going to be a big deal. So make sure you got your booking hat on, boys, because
we gotta get our year-end awards in too. That's my favorite.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what's coming up afterwards. I don't know if it'll be at the end of December or early January, but yes, the 2025.
Early January.
Early January?
I'm gone.
That's right.
Well,
Monday Night Mike
then
is...
You don't...
No, then... absolutely not. No, overruled.
Monday Mike does not get...
Shut
to
up.
...pick any award winners.
Come on, Matt. I'm changing your name to Great Britain.
But stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up in the next couple of weeks here. I'm excited for Saturday night's main event. Cody and Kevin Owens for the world title is very intriguing to me. They've added a couple of the matches as well, but yeah, before we get too deep into Saturday night's main event, we need to get deep into Survivor Series War Games live from Vancouver, British Columbia. And there was more than a handful of people that I saw that I kind of knew or kind of know through wrestling that were there at the show. So great job for anybody out in Western Canada making the trip over to Vancouver to watch some Survivor Series War Games. Real happy for you, peeps.
My buddy Steve from work was there. So fuck you, Steve.
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, fucker. But guys, overall, I've been thinking about it all weekend. And overall, I'm giving the show 6 out of 10.
It's perfectly fine score for what happened.
What's that, a C? Is that a C? A D plus, a C? Yeah, I wasn't underwhelmed. I wasn't overwhelmed. It was just a fine show. Like it did the job. I was whelmed. Oh, that was fucking great.
I was whelmed.
It was a fine show. I don't think I overhyped it in my head. I was excited for the show. We were all chatting through the group text before the show started. We were hyped for the start of the show. And then after, it was a fine show. Did you guys feel the same way? Were you happier than that? Were you less than happy?
I enjoyed it.
You always do. Exactly. I was also whelmed.
You were whelmed, yeah.
I was whelmed watching Survivor Series.
I was slightly more than whelmed. I won't go to overwhelmed, but slightly more.
There was some things where I was like, "Oh, it's moving the needle," and then it quickly went back to just whelmed.
The reaction on the internet seemed to be people loved it or they shit all over it. Like there were, I didn't see a whole lot of whelmed online.
Not a lot of whelmed
out there. Not a lot of whelmed out there.
That's the name of the podcast right there.
We were whelmed. Yeah.
But to me, it's very much of no one's overhyped this but you in your head. And that's on you. If you were hoping that there was a surprise and there wasn't, that's on you. That's not on the Fed. That's not on AEW. That's not on any wrestling company. That's how it works. Like, you can't be underwhelmed because The Rock didn't show up at the end of the night, but he showed up at Bad Blood a couple months ago. Like, that's, to me, that's not how it works. That's just on you for overhyping things. So to me, it was a fine show. I don't even think this is a nitpick. This is a full grown like grudge. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like when every single competitor goes under the ring for the War Games and grabs a weapon and then goes up and then use it, whatever. There's no intent to use the weapon to try to win the match. That's not an intent. And I know in the War Games, the match doesn't officially start until everybody's in, but I don't like the weapon spots anymore. Now, in the men's War Games match, once the match was started and they used tables for splashes and things like that, okay, cool. I like that because you're going for pins and whatnot. But in the women's match, when Io Sky's just like, I'm going to grab my garbage can, I'm climbing up, and then I'm going to do this moonsault, and then I did it. It had nothing to do with the match at all. It was a spot for the sake of the spot.
I like the moonsault.
I could care less. If anything, put more weapons in there. Light that motherfucker on fire. You're the weapon.
I am. I'm a fat mess. I would destroy. I am a fucking weapon. I am a fucking weapon. I'm a whelmed weapon, all right? But I just... They go grab a kendo stick, they hit every girl, and then they get kicked in the gut, and then the kendo stick falls down. And then that's it. A table comes in.
As it was.
Yeah. It's irking me that we're not using more reason for all these weapons. Like, in NXT, when they did the War Games match, and Kyrie first went to the top, it was near the end of the match. It was near the end of the match. It was a big spot. And it kind of fed into the finish of the match. Now it's just like, we've seen Io in every War Games match and she does that spot. And I'm just like, okay, this past weekend, she did it for nothing other than the clicks on the internet. That was it. There was no need for that move to be done in the match when it was done.
The need was that it got the publicity for WWE.
I liked it.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, I liked it.
With a crash can!
Put more weapons in there. Light that cage on fire for all I care. Give me more shit.
I'd be fine with that, but wouldn't more shit mean even more if it was for a useful strategic reason to win the match or get the upper hand?
I watch GCW.
I'm just fair point. I'm kind of at a, like, to me, that the women's War Games match was a giant mosh of nothing. It was wrestlers going through the motions and spots for the sake of spots. And then it became a tiny storyline near the end. I did enjoy the end of the match. I won't deny that. But the first 80% of that match, I didn't give two shits about.
I'm going to counter argue here. Now, whilst I don't agree with your opinion, and that's okay.
It is okay.
The men's War Games was boring as all fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Until the last 8 minutes. And these two teams are supposed to hate each other. And there was what? Two chairs and two tables? Like, fill that ring up and beat the living piss out of each other.
So it was boring because not every guy grabbed a weapon and brought a weapon
in? No, it was boring because 90% of the match they were laying on the floor.
It was actually soft.
They didn't do anything.
Yeah, like, it, I feel in terms of, like, work rate, I was like, this is soft.
Until the last 8 minutes.
Or, hear me out, WWE, maybe next year we just have a traditional Survivor Series match.
Yes, please.
The gimmick is so tough to not go off the rails. Getting everyone in line is tough. Like you had said during the show, you don't like when they stand and wait. This happened in both of those matches because it has to. It has to. The timing can't be perfect when there's that many cooks in the kitchen. Like, it just can't.
I think they got to do a better job of, while they're standing there, working to stand there or get there. Because obviously EO and whoever's standing on top of the cage is sitting there waiting for the cue and waiting for everyone to group up. But for everyone to be standing there that long, that high shot that had...
Not a doll fall.
It looked terrible. I could see all eight women standing just in groups, throwing a couple belly slaps, and the girls waiting for their cue to, like, okay, you jump now? Jump now, I'm going to jump now. It was terrible. It was terrible.
But when do you suspend some disbelief because it's pro wrestling?
Now, I really liked EO's dive. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I really liked Tiffany's dive. I thought that was great. I did not like that they were at the exact same time.
I can't
space both those dives. Those dives should have been spaced out a little bit. Because is anybody talking about the fact that Tiffany did a cage dive?
No, I think, but Tiffy got the bigger moment with the almost cash in. Like, that got the crowd going. Like, shit, it got me. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
Nothing came of it, because of course.
She should have cashed in. She had both world champions in a cage and didn't cash in.
I think that would have been a great cash in. Like, I definitely agree with that happening right there.
Tom, something you said in our group chat, I believe the day of the Survivor Series was, I better see some color. You're in War Games. You're inside of a cage, and it's known for every time a participant comes in, they grab some sort of weapon. And we got no color. Nothing even close. We got nothing over... Nothing remotely violent other than the big splashes from the top. There's so much danger with that cage and that steel plate that combines the two rings in the middle. There's so much to do there. You can get somebody to get a little bit of color. You can get somebody to make the cage the weapon with a guy the size of Bronson Reed, with a maniac like Jacob Fatu, the Tongans, who are, you're not supposed to be around kind of thing because they're insane and crazy. Somebody could have gotten some color. You could have used that cage a lot more, which the cage is there so people can jump off it now. That's what it's there for. Other than that, it's not used.
The worst bump on that metal thing between the two rings came in a match that wasn't a War Games match, and that was when LA Knight got fucked up on it.
Yeah.
yeah, he did. So one of the big storylines before we get to LA Knight and Shinsuke Nakamura, one of the big storylines from the men's War Game match was this favor that CM Punk is going to get from Paul Heyman at some point. And Roman, I guess, just having to be cool with it. He has no idea what the favor is. we might find out more, even with the sit down on SmackDown between Roman and CM Punk and Paul Heyman. Roman said, "What's this favor? What did he ask you?" And he said, "There'll be more time to talk about that after War Games." Any inclination what you guys are thinking, what it could be, what it should be? My wife had a good idea, but I don't know if that'll be it.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it'll be it.
So my wife's idea was, will CM Punk make Roman or make Paul Heyman choose between Roman and Punk? Who will get the wise man? Who will get Paul Heyman in their corner? I like the idea. I don't think we're going in that direction now, no. But it is something. I don't know what the favor would be. I can't see it being anything wild like, I get your title shot if you get a title shot. I can't see it being anything like that.
I have an idea.
What you got?
Most wrestling fans know that CM Punk has dreamed of main eventing WrestleMania his whole career, and it hasn't happened. CM Punk versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania is a fucking main event.
Is it a good main event if there's no title involved?
I don't think they care.
Two nights, it's.
I care, but I don't think they do.
I feel like Punk would care because he was the champion for one Mania for sure.
Oh, I meant WWE.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, Man, that's a good call. I haven't thought about that, but and usually for me, a Mania main event should involve some sort of championship, but yeah, I don't know. Usually, but
well, thank God Vince Russo's not booking still, or we'll be getting Paul Heyman on a pole match at WrestleMania.
It'd be a forklift, but you know what I mean. Mike, did you have any ideas about what it could be, what it should be?
I mean, Roman's going to get the title back at some point. So then Punk challenges him. It's the only time it'll make sense.
I think Punk's winning the Rumble, so I don't think he needs that favor.
I do not think Punk's winning the Rumble.
No? Why not?
I think John Cena's winning the Rumble.
Oh, gross.
Oof.
I might stop watching wrestling if that happens. That might be a Bob Backlund situation for me.
Really? I think the Cena feud for Mania will get planned at Rumble. I don't think he's winning the Rumble, though.
John Cena versus Gunther.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Like, it's solid there. You can still tell that story in the Rumble with both of them.
Gunther won't be in the Rumble.
Yeah, if he's a champion, he won't be in the Rumble. Guess. Yeah.
So Cena's either winning the Rumble or he's winning the Chamber in Toronto.
I could see the Chamber. How many times has he won the Rumble? Three times?
Twice.
He doesn't need another one. He'll win the Chamber and that'll be lame as shit.
I don't like it when anybody wins it more than once. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay if it's won more than once. Hell, Sean won it back to back. Remember 95, 96?
That's the fucking worst thing they ever did.
95, 96?
Stupid.
Put on two amazing WrestleMania main events.
That 95 Rumble was 38 minutes. What the fuck?
Yeah, was it every 90 seconds or 60 seconds?
Well, they said 2 minutes, but it was a minute because the whole Rumble was 38 minutes from bell to bell.
Pat Patterson wasn't starting a stopwatch. He's like, just go, banana, go.
Go, banana. Somebody go, fuck.
it's one of those things where I don't quite know where CM Punk and Roman are going, but you've got a lot of heat right now and excitement about, wow, we're going to get Punk and Roman at some point. And
isn't it nice that we don't know where stuff's going anymore?
Dude, it's the greatest feeling in the world. It makes this show and this friendship even that much more fun because we can fantasy book and it might be right, it might be wrong, and we might not see something coming completely like what the New Day did last night. It could be that much fun. Tom, you told us today that there's another Saturday Night's main event planned for January 25th. That's the weekend before the Rumble, I believe.
Yes, it is.
I think they're going to be putting a lot of stock in these Saturday night's main events.
I hope so.
Big on NBC and on Peacock. I hope so too. Mike, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a CM Punk versus Roman Reigns on a Saturday night main event.
Yeah. You want to? No.
We didn't get Cody Rhodes, the World Heavyweight Champion, the WWE World Champion at Survivor Series.
Great.
Kevin Owens. We're getting that WWE World Heavyweight Championship at Saturday Night's main event instead.
Is your second Saturday Night main event as big of a deal as that first one we're going to do?
And you know why Kevin versus Cody wasn't in Canada?
Because they would cheer the shit out of Kevin.
Yeah,
they don't want Kevin Owens getting cheered. That's why it wasn't in Vancouver on Survivor Series.
But I think that they're going to be putting a lot of stock in these Saturday Night's main events. I think we could get a Roman versus CM Punk at a Saturday Night main event.
I think it's too high profile.
I think right now you have so many options. You can do that because
there's
the Bloodline stuff. There's more Cody stuff. You've got Kevin Owens.
There's more chance.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There's more chance of me versus you main event in Saturday night's main event than Roman versus Punk.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you. Thank you, Tom.
I'll get the tights out.
Yeah, listen, sweatpants, yes.
Hey, I can get the Rikishi gear on.
I think our takeaway is being more what's with CM Punk and Roman just due to the buildup. What do we feel about the Bloodline storyline after this match?
It's done. I don't ever want to see them wrestle again.
It kind of like ebbs and flows with the old Bloodline story. And it was getting hot again, and I feel like this just cooled it right off to a point where I'm kind of with Tom.
Rock versus Roman. I'm okay for that.
Sure.
I'd love that. Any of those people wrestling each other again? No.
Have we seen? We've seen Roman versus Solo one-on-one, correct? Was that SummerSlam?
No, that's when Roman came back. They've never been one on. Oh God, that's going to be awful.
So we need that one match to happen. That one on one.
Yeah, we do.
Roman versus Solo. I swear it happened. Fuck.
Anyway. No, they did the six man and Solo pinned him.
Okay, so that's going to happen. Two, we've always kind of been under the belief that Bloodline 2.0 is kind of being ushered in by The Rock, right? We've always just kind of assumed or guessed that Rock is behind this new Bloodline, pushing it because Roman lost at WrestleMania. So if that is the case, at some point The Rock has to come back and call out Solo, take the Ulafala away, do whatever he needs to do, and then get back into the Roman Reigns world. But with what's going on with Cody and Kevin, I could see this running right through to WrestleMania. It's getting hot and heated, and there's so many options right now. I just don't know what our WrestleMania main events are going to look like, because there are options. It's great options. If Randy comes back.
Cody and Kevin is done at the Rumble.
Think so?
It'll be Cody versus Kevin versus Randy at the Rumble, and then it's done.
I like that. I like that a lot. We got Drew McIntyre back now. What's he going to do?
What's Jacob Fatu going to do?
What are these guys going to do? And with all the rumors over the last few months about more Samoans coming into the fold, are we going to have like a six-way triple threat, nine-man tag team match at WrestleMania with nothing but Samoans and Tongans? Because that would be wild.
That would be interesting.
I
will caveat that a straight tag of the Usos versus the Guerrillas of Destiny, or whatever we want to call them these days, I want to see that.
I'd love that.
Give it a rest for a little while.
Something's going to happen when it comes to heating up this Bloodline 2.0 situation, because they've lost all their steam, all their momentum. And are we getting to a situation?
But they have the Ulafala.
Do we have a situation?
This is so stupid.
Are we going
to
see
where it's like the commentary has to tell me that like it's still happening? He still has this. I'm like, why did he just fucking take it from him after War Games?
I think one thing we've kind of skipped over, and I think it deserves talking about a little bit more. That's Bronson Reed and that crazy ass splash that he hit.
Bronson Reed from way up.
Yeah. Tsunami from the top of the cage.
I popped for that.
I popped.
The sad part is back to nothingness. Thanks for jumping off the cage, Fudd.
I think 2025, he's the breakout star.
I think when he's back and healthy, it's him and Bron Breakker going balls to the wall. Ooh. I think that's the feud that Bron Breakker really breaks out, and Bronson Reed really breaks out. So I'm hoping whatever injuries Bronson Reed has aren't super serious. Don't keep him out for too long. That ankle didn't look too good from that slow-mo video that's going around on the internet these days, but hoping he's all right. But yeah, awesome, you know, dive.
For me, I think the most impressive part was how quickly he got his giant ass up that cage.
Motherfucker can move. He can go.
Adrenaline, baby.
If that was me, I'd still be trying to get up that cage now.
You were still walking down the ramp. Let's get real. You weren't even in the ring yet.
One thing, and I just remembered this now, but I remember when I was watching the match, it pissed me off. So they locked Roman Reigns out of the cage, and he just climbed over.
Yep.
Like, why did that? He had 9 Samoans and Tongans and Punks and Canadians stood there. Why did that fucker not do a cage dive? He's not going to get hurt.
He might.
But he's not gonna. With all those bodies down there, he's more likely to hurt somebody else.
Well, what if he aimed for Sammy? Then he's definitely getting hurt. Sammy can catch his shit.
Sammy will catch everyone.
If he aims for Sammy, the internet will be very happy.
Don't like that.
But dive off the fucking cage. You're not gonna get hurt. Bronson Reed and Jacob Fatu are down there. They'll catch a plane, let alone fucking Roman Reigns.
They aren't the one putting food on the table. They aren't the ones.
They're the one eating the fucking table.
Exactly. They're in their place where they're supposed to be. Roman Reigns doesn't do that. Not one bit. He jumped off the top rope, though, when he got inside the cage.
Great. Yeah, leave it be. Just get fired up. I just think this is like bad moving forward for the Bloodline storyline until Dwayne comes in.
Which I think has to be very, very soon. Has to be soon. We need Roman versus Solo because they've been building to that, but The Rock needs to get involved here very quickly to move to the next chapter of whatever the Bloodline storyline is going to be.
So many chapters.
No, it's good. It's really good TV.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Sure.
Someone did point out on the internet, though, that I thought was interesting. The last time we saw The Rock, he came out when Cody was involved in a match because he came out of Bad Blood when Cody and Roman tagged together. We've seen 2 pay-per-views since that involved the Bloodline, and The Rock hasn't shown up for any of that. So people still assume that it's going to be Cody and Rock at WrestleMania, but it's hard to kind of predicting that stuff because a movie could take him away at any second, I'd imagine. So
now I want to just quickly touch on something that happened in the women's War Games.
Yeah, please do.
And that is Nia Jax's Hulk Hogan-esque chair shots. Now, I am not defending her when it came to the chair shots to the back because they were awful.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one of them where she swung the chair and then didn't hit her. But that's because Naomi was feeding her head, not her back. So that's not Nia's fault.
I've watched it and I go, why wouldn't you just kick her in the gut? And then that exposes the back.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a point, but that was on Naomi,
I'm not going to lie. I think it's on all 3 of them. I think it's on Naomi. I think it's on Nia, and I think it's on Bayley. And you know what else I think it on? It's on. It's on. Well, Bayley was the other one getting hit in the back. But I just feel like she's probably the ring general in there. If you're not going to be able to do a chair spot really well, take it out of the fucking match. That's why I felt like I was just going through. I'm watching these wrestlers just go through the motions of putting on a War Games match, and I'm not watching a fight. I'm not watching a physical pro wrestling match where people are trying to get the win because they want that for their team. That's one of my biggest issues with the women's match, even some of the men's match. You guys are right. A lot of times the Usos are just laying around, and it bothers me.
We've all said that Nia Jax has been very good since her return.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
I do not like that she started the match.
Oh, she's bad. She's straight up awful. Cannot go that distance. Man, I've never seen someone look so bad until the last minutes. Nia Jax looked fucking terrible. Don't kid yourselves, internet. Try to defend it. Nia Jax looked awful. Those matches are a mess to begin with, too, where you're like, oh, we'll send Nia out. Don't do that. Don't well, do that.
Don't forget, Raquel Rodriguez was in this match as well for some fucking reason.
I completely forgot Candice LeRae was in the match.
Oh, I like Candice. Yeah, it hurts me that she's an afterthought.
Yeah,
me too. I thought she'd be the all-star of that match. I thought she'd be the one fucking flying everywhere and selling her ass off and getting worked over and getting her shit in. And I couldn't name one thing that she did in the match, unfortunately, right now. So
they did really good by Tiffy. They're really pushing that along. That cash-in's going to be awesome when it does happen. Io just becoming the spot monkey, Io's but that's fine. Star. But Io is the star of that match. That's the takeaway. That's going to be her match in WWE.
I was a very big fan of when they did the spot in the corner where everybody had weapons and stuff, that Bianca was just beating the shit out of people with her hair. That made me laugh.
That was stiff, too. That was stiff. I did enjoy that. Things started picking up, but to me...
And I'm real surprised we've got this far into the show without mentioning Rhea and her look.
Loved it.
I didn't want to be the guy that gives all the props in the world to Rhea's gear maker, but I'm going to be because, my goodness. Well done.
Incredible.
Well done, team. But even when she took the mask off that she had, and she had the cool makeup on underneath that just made her look even more badass, the Fed needs to do a better job right now of finding her an opponent that can work with her and her style to have amazing matches. Because I just don't think Liv Morgan's that person. Raquel Rodriguez isn't that person. Definitely. I don't know who is right now.
Now, I don't think it's a secret that myself and you guys enjoy the look of Rhea Ripley in very different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I simp for mommy. Big
time. All I can say is that mask and the look when she took it off was so fucking cool.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely.
Everything about it was cool.
If they don't release a figure of that look with that mask in the next 6 months, they are stupid.
It'll be at least a year. But if when they do release a figure of that, are you buying it?
I'm not a figures guy.
Okay, I'll buy two. But, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the WWE is not stupid. There will be a figure of that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you mentioned physical matches for Rhea. I think we need to touch on the most physical match of the night, which was the triple threat for the Intercontinental title.
Match of the night. That's what put this show into being a very enjoyable show.
Yeah, it was moving it from like whelmed, maybe a little bit further, almost overwhelmed.
Yeah, this match made me whelmed, boys. It was high impact. It was physical. It was exactly what I wanted. I loved everything about this match. Kaiser is a superstar. Sheamus is that veteran that we all of us diehards know he needs that Intercontinental Championship to become a Grand Slam champion.
I got caught twice where I'm like, this is it. And yeah. I was like, twice it got me. I was like, fuck.
And,
but obviously WrestleMania now is when they're going to give him the IC. Like
I think so.
They have to give it to him at WrestleMania.
Bron Breakker is growing on me, guys. He is. When he has longer matches like this, I don't listen to any of his promos. I don't give a shit. I don't care about dogs barking. And I just, his interviews bug me. But when he has matches like this where he takes as much as he gives, but then he has those big explosive moments too, that they shot him so well in this match. Him, the diving spears, the dives outside the ring. Awesome. Awesome match. Great job, fellas. You're making me buy it.
I thought a highlight for Kaiser. I think it was a breakout. Like it was really great. Great performance from all three of them. I was just like, man, like they're really beat the shit out of each other.
And I'm assuming we've all seen the pictures of Sheamus following this match.
Yeah.
They are fucking brutal.
Get that guy a 10. In other great news, LA Knight's no longer the United States champion. Well, that's great.
That motherfucker dropped that title twice that night.
Yeah. Ooh, I got him.
Perched and ready. The Ronin senses their king. The Kinshasa. Cover by Nakamura. Shinsuke's a three-time United States champion.
Shinsuke Nakamura, your new United States champion. Tom called it.
absolutely loved his entrance.
So good.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a secret. I don't like it when they fuck with the music and things like that. But
Def Rebel.
But they just slowed it down and added a drum beat. And it was amazing. And the new look is cool.
It sets a tone for his character now.
Yeah.
And it looks like Triple H is finally doing something with Shinsuke, which
we gotta hope.
Makes me very happy.
To me, it was such an underwhelming title run for LA Knight. I don't care that he had more title defenses than Logan Paul. I don't give a shit. LA Knight is not an exciting wrestler. He's very boring. He has happy feet sometimes. He can't land the jump to the top rope to save his life now. Yes. But I think it's all nerves and scared. But he's lost his mojo. And outside of LA Knight, what else is there? You've got a generic wrestler. I'm sorry. I'm falling off the LA Knight bandwagon. And do yourself a favor. You won't drop the title if you fucking wear it, you donkey. Quit carrying the damn thing. Just wear it around your waist. That's why it's got snaps and Velcro and all that fun stuff. You won't drop it in front of 17,000 fans in Vancouver and have to look like a dork and jump off the apron, jump down to the floor, pick it up, go do your dumb pose while we're all laughing at you because you botched again, you dummy. Fucking brutal. LA Knight, no.
I like it. I see what you did there.
But also very
and
happy.
Finally.
Very happy that Shinsuke is a U.S. title holder.
Of course. And finally, Gunther versus Damian Priest.
Oh, shit. I forgot about this.
Right?
That's pretty much all you need to say about that match.
I liked the match. I just forgot it had happened.
I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite Damian Priest matches. I don't have a favorite one, but I thought he brought it this match. I thought he really brought the physicality to not only be like a cool good guy that's brooding or whatever, but that he was a cool badass pro wrestler. Like, I thought he brought the physicality. Gunther is unstoppable. And we need to see more performances like that. We even got it on Monday Night Raw against Dominic. So I'm happy to see Damian Priest take that step forward. I just don't know what's next for the guy.
Yeah, I don't get Damian Priest. I don't think he's good. I don't see it.
I think he's good in the right role.
What kind of role?
Well,
upper mid card to get up and coming heels or baby faces, depending on him, into the main event. It'd be great for that.
I like that the loser, Finn Balor, ate the big boot from Gunther. So that was cool.
Well, Mike, stay tuned for Saturday night's main event next week. It is Gunther versus Finn Balor.
Murdered.
that match will be very good.
Yeah, but he's still a fucking loser. Finn Balor's a born loser. Looks ridiculous. Cholo vibes given off from him. Holy Christ.
What a perfect way to end the show. guys, let us
yet
know
another
thought.
Pod where you're known as a fucking loser, Finn Balor. But please do an interview with the pod.
guys, let us know what you thought of the show. We ran out of time to get into Monday Night Raw, but let's talk Monday Night Raw on the socials as well. At In My House Pod. Let us know what you thought of the New Day's heel turn on Big E, as well as the Seth and CM Punk and Sami Zayn as well. Lots of great stuff happening, but hit us up on the socials at In My House Pod. We'll be back next week talking Saturday night's main event. For UK Tom, for Monday Night Mike, I'm Scotty Villa. This has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.